Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Elbit Systems' third quarter 2018 results conference call. All participants are present in the listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Elbit's Investor Relations team at GK Investor and Public Relations at 1-646-688-3559, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.elbitsystems.com. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Ehud, please go ahead.
Thank you, and good day to everybody. On behalf of all the investors, I would like to thank Elbit Systems management for hosting this call. Joining us today on the call are Mr. Bezalel Machlis, Elbit's President and CEO, and Mr. Yossi Gaspar, Elbit's Chief Financial Officer. Yossi will begin by providing a discussion of the financial results of the third quarter of 2018, followed by Butzi, who will talk about some of the significant events during the quarter and beyond. We will then turn over the call to the question-and-answer session. Before we begin, I would like to point out the safe harbor statement in the company's press release issued earlier today also refers to the content of this conference call. With that, I would like now to turn the call to Yossi. Yossi, please.
Thank you, Ehud. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As we do every quarter, we will provide you with both our regular GAAP financial data as well as certain supplemental non-GAAP information. You can find all the detailed GAAP financial data as well as the non-GAAP information and the reconciliation in today's press release. This quarter, we saw solid year-over-year revenue growth as well as continued growth in the backlog. I will now highlight and discuss some of the key figures and trends in our financial results. Our third quarter 2018 revenues were $895 million compared with $801 million last year, up 11.8% year-over-year. The growth was driven by sales from our continually growing backlog as well as the addition of revenues from our acquisition of Universal Avionics Systems, which was fully consolidated in the second quarter of this year. In terms of revenue breakdown across our areas of operation in the quarter, Airborne Systems was 40%, C4ISR was 33%, Land Systems was 17%, Electro-Optics was 8%, and the rest was 2%. Compared with the third quarter of last year, Airborne Systems made up a larger portion of our sales, primarily due to the acquisition of Universal. In addition, there were strong revenues in the armored vehicle areas of operation. In terms of the geographic breakdown for the quarter, North America was 26% of our revenues, Europe was 19%, Israel was 18%, Asia Pacific 25%, Latin America was 7%, and the rest of the world was 5%. North America increased partially due to the acquisition of Universal. Asia Pacific also grew due to the increased sales of electronic warfare systems and UAS. There was also an increase in the rest of the world sales driven by armored vehicles and DIRCM systems. For the third quarter, the non-GAAP gross margin was 29.1% versus 32% last year. Our GAAP gross margin was 28.6% in the quarter versus 31.3% last year. I note that our gross margin in the third quarter of last year was particularly high due to the mix of products we sold. The third quarter non-GAAP operating income was $85.7 million, or 9.6% of revenues, compared with $89.2 million, or 11.1% of revenues last year. GAAP operating income in the quarter was $79.1 million, or 8.8% of revenues, compared with $82.2 million, or 10.3% of revenues last year. Our GAAP operating expenses for the quarter were 19.8% of revenues, compared with 21.1% of revenues in the third quarter of last year. The operating expense breakdown in the quarter was as follows: Net R&D expenses were 7.8% of revenues versus 8.4% last year. Marketing and selling expenses were 7.8% of revenues versus 8.4% last year. G&A expenses were 4.2% of revenues versus 4.3% last year. Financial expenses for the third quarter of 2018 were $8.1 million, compared with financial expenses of $9.3 million last year. Taxes in the third quarter were $8.9 million, or 12.6% of pre-tax income, versus $14.6 million, or 20% of pre-tax income last year. For the third quarter, non-GAAP net income was $69.8 million, or a net margin of 7.8%, versus $67.3 million, or a net margin of 8.4% last year. Non-GAAP diluted earnings per share were $1.63, compared with $1.57 last year. On a GAAP basis, third quarter consolidated net income was $64.1 million, or a net margin of 7.2%, versus $61.5 million, or a net margin of 7.7% last year. GAAP diluted earnings per share were $1.50, compared with $1.44 last year. Our backlog of orders as of September 30, 2018 was $8.108 billion, $467 million higher than the backlog at the end of the third quarter of 2017, representing an increase of 6.1%. Approximately 45% of the current backlog is scheduled to be performed during 2018 and 2019, and 55% of the current backlog is scheduled for 2020 and beyond. The ratio is similar to that at the same time last year. Operating cash flow for the third quarter was a negative of $19.1 million, compared with a negative cash flow of $142.6 million in the same quarter last year. Finally, the Board of Directors declared a dividend of 44 cents per share for the third quarter of 2018. That ends my summary, and I shall now turn over the call over to Mr. Machlis, Elbit Systems CEO. Butzi, please.
Thank you, Yossi. We are pleased with our overall result, particularly the solid 20% growth in revenue, which was a combination of ongoing organic growth as well as the addition of revenues from the acquisition of Universal last quarter. Even while delivering strong revenue growth, we continue to increase our backlog, providing us with strong visibility for many years to come. Our long-term growth has always been built on both investing in our existing businesses, growing it on an organic basis, while at the same time acquiring and adding synergetic businesses to our organization. Our core businesses continue to perform well. In Asia Pacific, we recently announced two large orders. We received a $167 million order for one of our ITAR solutions. That is our system for providing aerial intelligence, surveillance, target acquisition and reconnaissance. Earlier, we received a $173 million contract with an Asia Pacific country's Navy for our naval remote control weapon station. Both these contracts represent our unique capacity, enabling customers to draw on our exceptionally broad portfolio to meet the range of comprehensive operational needs. In the UK, we announced a £10 million order with a maximum of potential £4 million from the UK MOD for a battlefield management application. The ongoing and increasing demand for our solutions are clear indications of the growing operational importance of advanced and combat-proven capabilities that we have in all domains of operational engagement, maritime, land, and air. Elbit has proven time and again that we can build our businesses successfully on both an organic basis as well as acquiring and assimilating new organizations and technologies into the Elbit family. This continues to remain our long-term strategy, and we look forward to it providing us with many years of continued growth and value creation. I will be happy to take your questions. Operator, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Pete Skibinski of Alembic Global. Please go ahead.
Good evening, guys. Guys, can you quantify for us how much the transition to ASC 606 contributed to the revenue growth in the quarter? And as well, should we think that the fourth quarter, I think since that'll be the last year of the transition, if we should see similar, you know, high single digit, low double digit type of growth as you complete that accounting transition?
Hi, Pete, this is Yossi. I would say the following. We are now building every quarter the 606 versus the 605 accounting, and by the end of this year, with the quarterly results of the fourth quarter, we will release the information. Presently, the information is in process of building it up, and we are not in a position to provide that information publicly. However, next quarter, we will actually have double reporting, one for 606 and one for 605.
Okay, appreciate that. Joseph, one more for you. I know you said in the past that you guys use your balance sheet to win contract with good credit customers, and that could sometimes lead to receivables growth, you know, which we've seen the last couple of years and then this quarter. I'm wondering if you could help us understand the timing on the receivables, because I would think at some point over the next year or two that the receivables will reverse, and maybe even your whole working capital account, such that working capital will be a source of cash rather than the use of cash.
Yeah, I think you are correct. That was our strategy. I would say that we have recently declined a little bit on this approach, and because we were successful in positioning ourselves well with some of our major customers, and the assessment that the receivables are going to come in, the cash is going to come in within the next 12 to 24 months is very reasonable.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is from Vineet Kira of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking up my question. I have a question for you on this IMI deal. If you could throw some light on the impact of this deal and what their targets are.
On what IMI? IMI?
Yes, IMI deal.
As was announced yesterday, this acquisition was approved by the government, by the Minister of Finance, as well as by the Prime Minister. And we believe that it will be concluded in the coming days.
Okay. And any impact which we could see on the financials?
Once we close, we will prepare the starting balance sheet. And if we, in case we close within the next several days, then the fourth quarter will reflect, of course, partially on a proportional basis, the performance of IMI in the remaining period of 2018, probably somewhere 4 to 6 weeks of performance. That is what we expect to happen.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Machlis to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available 2 hours after the conference ends. In the U.S., please call 1-888-782-4291. In Israel, please call 03-925-5927. And internationally, please call 972-3925-5927. A replay of the call will also be available on the company's website, www.elbitsystems.com. Mr. Machlis, would you like to make your concluding statement?
I would like to thank all our employees for their continued hard work. To everyone on the call, thank you for joining us today and for your continued support and interest in our company. Have a good day and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Elbit Systems Ltd. Third Quarter 2018 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.